with us this morning. If you will take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It is great to see all of you, and especially if you're visiting, we're thankful that you have chosen to be with us this morning. We're just excited to be together in the Lord's presence and honoring Him. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." All of us know what it feels like to be weighed down with anxiety. Maybe you've had a stressful week or stressful month or stressful year or several years. And that builds up, and all of that negativity and all of those things we think about and are concerned about, those things build up on our hearts, and they feel like we're dragging it behind us and just struggling to get through maybe each day. Art Adams is a counselor, a Christian counselor down in Indianapolis. And he says that the number one reason people come to him for counseling is because of anxiety. People express this feeling of just being worried all the time and not knowing how to handle that, not knowing how to deal with that. And he says that includes Christians. Christians come to him dealing with anxiety. And here in America, anxiety is the most commonly diagnosed psychological disorder. The most common emotional disorder people have here in America, which is interesting because we live in a comfortable, very prosperous, very safe society, all things considered, right? And yet we still struggle with this feeling of stress and anxiety and how to deal with that. We know what it feels like to get up in the morning and just feel like we're weighed down, or go through the day and just feel like at the end of the day we're weighed down by struggles in life. Which tells us that the ultimate answer to anxiety and worry is not money, it's not recreation, it's not more convenience, and it's not less stress and less responsibility. Now, those things may help. Don't misunderstand me here. Those things certainly can help. If you feel stressed, maybe it's time to cut back on some of the things that you're doing. But those things ultimately are not the answer. Cutting your responsibilities or having more money or having more convenience in life is not really going to solve the problem of anxiety. There's a deeper thing we have to consider. The answer lies much deeper. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do we overcome this feeling of anxiety that we have in this world? First of all, we need to think about what anxiety is. How do we define anxiety? Website anxiety.org, all about anxiety, defines it as the mind and the body's reaction to stressful, dangerous, or unfamiliar situations, resulting in a sense of uneasiness, distress, or dread. It's a pretty sweeping definition. All of us can relate to at least something in that definition, this feeling of unfamiliarity. Maybe it's something that's in the future that's impending. You're worried about it. You don't know how it's going to go. And so you feel this uneasiness or this distress or maybe even this dread about it. There are three kinds of anxiety. First of all, there's a healthy anxiety. We need to understand this as we go through the lesson. We'll be talking more about this. But there's a healthy form of anxiety, which sometimes we just call concern. This is the normal discomfort and concern which motivates us to action and awareness. You and I were wired as human beings to naturally respond to things with anxiety, with this kind of concern, because that motivates us to prepare for things, okay? I get anxious whenever I present a sermon. And so that feeling of anxiety throughout the week, as I think about that, moves me to prepare, do my best, and so that when I get up, I'm not stumbling around and don't know what to say, okay? That's a motivating kind of anxiety. This is the kind of concern that would motivate you to study for a test. You're worried about it, and so you think about it. You know, I've got to do my best to look through the notes or look through the PowerPoints, whatever. Maybe prepping for a job interview. Or this is the kind of anxiety that would teach us to, or teach our kids, set some boundaries, set some rules. You don't run out into the street to catch your ball because we're worried that a car will come running you over. Those are all forms of healthy anxiety. But very quickly, that can build up into what is unhealthy anxiety. Unhealthy anxiety is abnormal obsession regarding the unknown, uncertain future. And that's the kind of anxiety that is unhealthy, the kind of that the Bible tells us we need to shed off of our lives. Jesus is going to tell us about how we deal with that unhealthy anxiety. This is where we might say, what if I don't pass the test? If I don't pass the test, then I'm not going to get a good grade in this class, then I'm not going to be able to graduate high school, then I'm not going to be able to go to college, then I'm not going to be able to get a good job, I'm going to end up living on the streets because I didn't pass the one test. That's the kind of unhealthy anxiety. If I don't get this job, then I'm not going to be able to support my family, then we're all going to go hungry, and we're all going to be homeless. That's the kind of unhealthy anxiety. I think you get the point. But there's a third type of anxiety that's known as clinical anxiety. This is the mental disorder involving the uncontrollable psychological and physiological factors. I believe this is real. I believe that some people deal with this kind of uncontrollable feeling of anxiety that sometimes needs to be worked through medication, maybe counseling. If this is the kind of anxiety that we struggle with, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, so we're really not going to deal a whole lot with that kind of anxiety. Instead, we're going to deal with the second kind, the unhealthy anxiety that we struggle with, which many times comes from and is rooted in those healthy fears, but they translate and we begin to obsess about them, leading us to be unhealthily anxious. This will be our focus this morning. Now, let's look at this from a different angle. Is anxiety sinful? That's something we need to establish here at the beginning. As we said earlier, there's a type of anxiety concern that is not wrong, okay? So from this definition, if we define anxiety as a natural emotional response to life's uncertainties, pressures, and concerns, no, it's certainly not wrong. As I mentioned earlier, God wired us to react to life with certain emotions. And so we can't control the way we feel all the time. If we feel a certain way, we just feel that way. And so that's just an emotional, natural response. We're going to see in a minute some people in the Bible who experience these kinds of feelings. And one of those people is Jesus. Jesus experienced an emotional response to life. And so certainly he never sinned. And so he is an example of anxiety that is not sinful. But the Bible also tells us that we should not worry. Jesus tells us here in Matthew chapter 6, do not be worried about your life. Clearly, anxiety can be sinful if it is placing life's uncertainties, pressures, and concerns in the center of our hearts. Those things that we're worried about, if that's the center of our focus, that's where the sin is. I heard an illustration that helps me understand this. You know, it's one thing to just be concerned about things around us in life, but not put them in the center of our lives. But if you imagine your life as a solar system, what is in the center of your solar system? Is it God, or is it something else? If there is something else that everything else is revolving around, whether it's your money, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your image, whatever it is, that is ultimately what you're going to be worried about. And the goal then is not to coach ourselves out of this feeling of anxiety and fear, or just not even to pretend it doesn't exist. That's not a healthy way to deal with worry. It's just kind of stuff it down, pretend like it's not there. The real answer to this is to turn these over to God and place Him at the center of our hearts. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 here. And I want to point out that this passage that was read for us earlier about worry exists in a context. So if you go back to verse 19, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, don't put all your hope and all your all your trust in the riches of this world. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ultimately, we're going to see this in a minute. Ultimately, anxiety is a matter of where our heart is. Verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And sometimes we just break it right there. That's the end of him talking about materialism and loving money. But in verse 25, he continues, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you will drink." It's for the same reason that we worry that we put our stock in treasures here on earth. It's a matter of our hearts. If our minds are focused on this life and the things that we struggle with and the things that we have or don't have in this world and the things that we feel, if that's the focus of our hearts, then not only are we going to find ourselves maybe loving money, but we're going to find ourselves being worried about those things. So we worry, and this is a helpful definition for us. We worry when the most valuable things to us are threatened. When your money comes under attack, or when your health comes under attack, or your relationships, and you're afraid of losing that, then that translates into unhealthy worry. And the question is, are those things the things that ought to be most valuable to us? The goal of this lesson is to help us think through those feelings that we're having and put God at the center of our solar system, not whatever our concern is. I mentioned a few minutes ago that there is a healthy kind of anxiety. Just a reality of humanity, okay? We're humans, we have feelings, and we are built to have feelings. And one of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible just acknowledges the realities of human life. I mean, it acknowledges the range of human emotions that we feel. And this is one of those. Let me show you several examples of people in the Bible who were very faithful to God, but yet struggled with intense feelings of anxiety. The first person that comes to mind really is Paul. If you go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he mentions that he was concerned about his brother Titus. He was on one of his missionary journeys, and he was going to Troas, and he expected to find his brother Titus there. In verse 12, he says, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." Now think about what you know about Paul. Paul never turned down an opportunity to preach the gospel. Wherever he went, if there was an open door, he walked right through it. He was courageous, but what does he say here? That he walked away from a door to preach the gospel because he wanted to find his brother. He was expecting him. When he didn't find him, what's happened to him? Did something bad happen along his journey? Did he get held back by the church that he was working with? What happened to my brother? He turned down an opportunity because he was concerned about his brother. In chapter 7, in verse 5, he describes the same situation in this way. "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without and fears within." You know what that feels like, to have conflicts without and fears within? That's the way Paul was feeling here, because he was concerned about his brother Titus. Later on in the book, he mentions in chapter 11, verse 28, all the things that bear on him as an apostle and as a preacher. And he says, "Apart from all the persecutions, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." Paul was constantly concerned and anxious about the churches and their well-being. That's a healthy thing that he struggled with. Moses, I think, is another example of someone who felt burdened by responsibility. In Numbers chapter 11, we're not going to turn there, but Numbers 11, verses 10 through 15, the people in the wilderness have been complaining, and just time and time again, and all of this has built up Moses' stress level almost to a breaking point. And he cries out to God, "God, why have you placed this challenge and this burden on me? I'm not the one who birthed these people. These aren't my children. So why are you asking me to deal with them like this? If this is the way you're going to deal with me," Moses says, "please kill me now." I mean, imagine that you're leading over 1 million people through the wilderness. There's hardly anything to eat, burning sand, and the people are just full of complaining and ingratitude for what God has done for them already. That's the burden that Moses felt on his shoulders. Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, felt anxious after he called down fire upon the altar and prove that God was the one true God, Jezebel threatened his life and said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And so he ran, he fled. And this shows how worry and anxiety can quickly lead us to deep despair. Elijah went into deep, deep depression here. And so you see how this kind of a sliding scale where if we find ourselves being anxious, if we don't deal with that properly, it's going to lead us quickly down into deep despair. But finally, I want you to think about Jesus. We don't think about Jesus being anxious, but he was. Look with me, if you will, at Mark chapter 14. Just before the cross, he knew it was coming, but just before it happened, his emotions really, really started to stir in him. And so he says in verse 30, it says in verse 32, when they came to a place named Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. My soul is distressed to the point of death, he says. This is intense anxiety where he's anticipating the cross and everything that's going to come from that. In Luke's account, we read that as he's praying to God, he's praying so fervently that drops of sweat like blood come down off of his forehead. That's very intense emotional feelings. And the point I want us to think about is that having these feelings of anxiety and fear about things that are in the future, it's natural for us. But the question is, how are we going to deal with it? You and I are going to maybe be in some similar situations where we feel intense and this feeling of fear and burdened by the stresses of life. But how are we going to deal with it? And that's the dividing line between someone who is overcome by anxiety and someone who is able to take it to God. All of these examples of people, yes, they deal with it in different ways, in different forms, in different levels of intensity, but they ultimately took it to God, and they were able to deal with it in that way. So the question is, when we feel anxious, what will we do? Where will we turn? And where will our hearts be? Here's some possible causes of anxiety, possible things that may lead us to feel anxious. As we mentioned earlier, maybe it's an uncertain future. Jesus recognizes this certainly as a possibility in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 34, he says, so do not worry about tomorrow, right? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Sometimes that's what we do. We worry about the uncertainty of the future. What if I lose my job? What if my car breaks down? How am I going to afford to fix it? How will I pay for college? Those are all things that we push off in the future, and we ask those what if questions about the uncertainty of future. We think about fear, and someone came up with an acronym to describe fear in relation to anxiety. Fear is a false evidence that appears real. False evidence that appears real. And I think that well describes some of our anxieties. Often our anxiety is the result of a desire to control things. We want to control our lives, control the outcome. But really, you think about it, how much in life can we control to begin with? I mean, really, what are we in control of? We're in control of the choices that we make. But outside of that, we can't control our environment, much of it. We can't control things that happen in the future. Who really is in control? It's God, right? And so instead of fretting about tomorrow, let's just take care of today and do what we can in today. Maybe it's our health and chronic struggle with our health. I think about Job as one who suffered this and an intensity. Job chapter 7 and verse 4, he says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? But the night continues, and I am continually tossing until dawn. And Job knew that feeling of going to bed, I mean, just wanting for the day to be over, wanting to go to bed, just kind of sleep. But when he gets to bed, he can't sleep. He's tossing and turning, just waiting for the morning. This feeling of anxiety that his health caused him, and all the other stresses and sufferings that he had. I know that there are some here that just struggle with chronic health challenges. And certainly that has to weigh on you and wear down your emotions. And cause you to become consumed with anxiety. There is a form of anxiety, though, that comes from sin. Especially if it's a secret sin that we are holding in, we have not confessed it, we have not brought it to the surface. David speaks about this in Psalm 38 and verse 18. He says, "For I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin." Because of my sin. If there is a sin in your life, then probably that's going to cause you anxiety. If you feel anxiety about something, look deeply into your heart and say, is there something that I am holding in that maybe I have just buried because I don't want to deal with it? If there is some sin in your life, you need to bring that into the open in order to find peace with God. Maybe it's just the daily pressure. Maybe it's not something, you know, just one major thing in life that just builds and builds, but maybe it's just those little things that stack on each other. Again, I think about Moses in Exodus, who felt the burden, the pressure of leading God's people. And his father-in-law told him, look, this is not good for you to judge the people by yourself. So let's appoint some helpers for you who can take care of the little matters. I mean, those little matters really build up after time. And so maybe it's the daily pressure, especially if you're a parent. You know, parents, we know about anxiety, right? If you're an elder in the church, maybe a manager at work, or you're a caretaker for someone, the daily pressure of that can really take a toll on us. Or finally, maybe it's just negative thinking. We get down on ourselves, or maybe we focus on the negative in our world and on our surroundings, and that just brings us to a point of stress. Philippians chapter 4 gives us an answer for that. Philippians 4 verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell." Well, that word really is to meditate, soak in these things. What do you soak in life? Do you listen to talk radio on your way to work, your commute? Or maybe you watch a lot of TV, news talk shows. Maybe you participate in gossip at work and you hang out with people who complain. Whatever we fill our minds with and fill our ears with, we may not think it's affecting us, but if you feel yourself engaging in gossip or focusing on the negative in the world, maybe it's because you just have so wrapped up yourself with the things that are in this world, you just need to change the channel. Change the channel of what you're listening to, what you're thinking about, and focus on what is good. Focus on what is true. Focus on what is right and holy in this world. And of course, holy in the Word of God. These are just some possible causes of anxiety. There might be more. Maybe you can add to that list. But these are some ways that we can think about what is causing our anxiety. But Jesus does not want us to stay here. Okay? These are maybe just natural feelings that we might have, but Jesus does not want us to stay here. So Jesus gives us an answer. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. There are three things that Jesus says here that can help us overcome anxiety. It was read for us earlier, but let's just read it again. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than them? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let me remind you before we get to this first point up here that as we said earlier, this passage exists in the context. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus ultimately is talking about matters of the heart. Where is our heart? So keep that in the back of your mind. File it away. Anxiety ultimately comes down to where our heart is. The first point Jesus makes is put your concerns into the greater perspective of eternity. Put your concerns in the perspective of eternity. Verse 25 says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you will drink for your body. Just stop right there for just a minute. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Those are the basic, fundamental things, essentials of life, right? Don't worry about those things. Now, if those are things, I mean, those are real things we have to have in life, right? I mean, those are the nuts and bolts of how life works. If we're not even to worry about the basic essentials of life, then how much less should we worry about the things that we pile on top of that? My home. Surely you need a place to home, but do you need a big house? Do you need a nice home? Do you have to drive a really nice car and be worried about that? Do you have to wear nice clothes? Do you have to worry about our technology? Do we have to worry about our phones? Do we have to worry about all the things that break down in life? How much less should we worry about those things when Jesus tells us we shouldn't even worry about the basics of life, which we really do need? Put it into the greater perspective of eternity. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If life is not just about eating and drinking and wearing clothes, what is it about? What is life about? Well, it's about more than that. It's about what comes after the eating and the drinking. It's about what comes after this life. And so he's telling us life is not just about this world. It's not about the situation that we're in here, this earth, and the enjoyment and the struggles we have in this world. It's about what comes next. It's about eternity. When we get to eternity, how many of us are going to be worried about college? How many of us are going to really be worried about the test at work or the performance exam or the performance evaluation? What are we going to be worried about in eternity? None of those things. They're all going to pale. So put it into perspective. Second thing Jesus says is to remember how valuable you are. He says, verse 26, look at the birds. They don't do any work. Never done a single day of what we might call work in their life. But Jesus cares for them. God cares for them. He feeds them. The grass, they don't toil, they don't spin, yet God cares for them. He clothes them. How much more valuable are you than they? Because you're a soul. If God cares for the creation, the plants, the animals, the world, how much more is he going to care for you? And then finally, he tells us to prioritize what's most important. In verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These things, of course, are the things that are necessary for life. If you prioritize the most important things, God's going to take care of the rest. He's going to make sure that you have the essentials for life, but that's not your focus. Your focus is to prepare yourself for eternity. Focus on God's kingdom and what is right, and God is going to care for you. I think a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, we worry because our priorities are not in the right place. Would you agree with that? We worry about things that are really not that important in life, but we prioritize them, we put them in the center of our solar system, and everything that we do revolves around that, when that needs to be God we revolve around. So let's remember that the kingdom of God is most important and not be too consumed with this world. What are we going to put in the center of our hearts? As we close this morning, I want to ask you four questions. When you're struggling with feelings of worry and anxiety, these questions are certainly going to come into play. First of all, ask yourself, what can I change, if anything? Many times we worry about things we have no control over, so what's the point in worrying about them? You can't control it anyway. But other times we worry about things that we can change or do something about, but that worry and anxiety paralyzes us, so we don't do anything to change it. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. One of the things that I worry the most about is about my children's future. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? We know that they're going to grow up in a very challenging environment for their faith, especially spiritually speaking. But what can I, number one, what can I change about their future? I can't change anything about their future, right? But what I can do is I can work today to prepare them for tomorrow. If I'm so worried about their future that I'm consumed by that and I don't spend time preparing them, teaching them to pray, reading them the Bible, then what is my worry really doing? I have to do what I can today so I don't have to worry about tomorrow. What can you change about your situation? If there's something you can do about tomorrow, do it. If there's nothing you can do about tomorrow, put it in God's hands and let Him handle it. Secondly, ask, what am I thankful for? Philippians chapter 4 is one of those key passages when it comes to anxiety. Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The opposite of being anxious is having the peace of God. But how do we get there? It's by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's the key. As you're praying about your worry, to take it to God, but look at what God has done for you already and express thanks for that. Sometimes an attitude of gratitude is all we need to take care of our worry. It will help us refocus on what God has done for us. Thirdly, ask yourself, do I need to ask for help? I'm not just talking about a counselor here, although that might be helpful. But just among your brothers and sisters. I mean, all of us know what it's like to worry on some level. So maybe if you feel overwhelmed by that, talk to a brother or sister. We're here for each other. This is a family. And so many times we just hold those feelings in and not talk about them. We don't express them to our brothers and sisters who are able to help. Well, that's exactly what we need to do. Open up to someone. Talk it out. Get it outside of ourselves. Sometimes, and we all have had this time before where we have been concerned about something, and so we talk to someone about it, and they don't even give us any advice. Through us talking it over, we answer our own troubles, right? We find the answer for ourselves just by talking about it. So ask for help. We certainly are glad to help you and pray for you. But finally, I need to ask you, have you given it to God? Ultimately, this is where it all needs to lie. Have you given this to God? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Let me ask you this. Do you think God can handle the biggest struggle you've ever had in life? Do you think God is strong enough? Do you think God is wise enough? Do you think God is able to handle those cares? Well, we know He is, right? He cares. And not only is He able, but He cares for us. So let's cast those on Him. We need to remember that there is nothing that God cannot handle, and that God lives in the big picture of things. Many times we're so concerned about this world, but this is the little picture, right? This is the blip of what it's all about. God sees the big picture. God sees how all of this works together. God sees how His plan is ultimately going to be accomplished for the salvation of those who love Him and those who trust in Him. So have you given it to God? This is really where it needs to begin. So let's pray together and ask God to help us overcome our anxiety. Our Lord God, we thank You for the Scriptures, which I pray have given us comfort, some direction, and some ease. We know that You are able to handle what concerns us in this life. Father, You teach us through Your Son to not be worried about this life. We pray, Father, that You'll continually remind us of that. Teach us, encourage us, and comfort us. Father, we pray that we will focus on the things that are most important, and whenever life here gets difficult, help us to think about how those prepare us for eternity. Lord, help us to humble ourselves, to cast our anxiety on You, Father, for you are able to handle it and you care for us. Most importantly, Father, we thank you for your love and your concern. Thank you for the example of Jesus, and it's through him that we pray. Amen. Have you given your life to God? That's what I want to close the lesson with. Have you given your life to God? Not just parts of your life, the things that you're concerned and worried about, but have you given your life to him by becoming his disciple? Are you willing to follow Jesus? Jesus says, if you're not willing to come after me and take up your cross daily and deny yourself, then you can't be my disciple. And that begins by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the only Savior, by confessing that belief, by repenting of your sins, by being immersed in water to have your sins forgiven. If that's what you need to do this morning, we're here to help you and encourage you. We can do that today. Whatever you need, please let that be known as we stand and sing the song to encourage you.